Hello, it's Tuesday, October 10th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. As everybody knows, the biggest breaking story in the alternative media right now is the American Free Press firing journalist Christopher Bolin. Before we touch on this story, and we're going to devote the entire show today to this, I first of all would like to thank everybody that's been emailing us over the last couple days and weeks, thanking us for trying to clean up the negative and detrimental elements that have infiltrated the alternative media. And when you look at the mainstream media and you see what horrible condition it's in today, how it's been completely controlled by outside forces, this didn't happen overnight. And yes, of course, the mainstream media has never been perfect. It's always been controlled. But it hasn't ever been as bad as it is right now. And the reason this has occurred is because people didn't do something when they saw that these outside forces were infiltrating
it. Right. They didn't challenge the mainstream media. They didn't question it. They just let it run amok.
Right. And the same thing has been happening to our alternative media. And we just want to send a big thank you to all those people that do have their eyes open and that have been thanking us.
Well, and have been supporting us with kind feedback regarding the attacks instigated by Christopher Bolin and Eric Huffschmidt and Daryl Smith.
And others.
Against me, my family, Victor, his family. So we appreciate your support.
And if you want to see this alternative media completely go down the toilet, like that is,
I think it's already there.
Well, see, I have hope that we can still save it, but if we continue to do nothing, it's going to end up in the same exact condition as the mainstream media, because the same forces controlling the mainstream media and destroying it are the same forces trying to destroy the alternative media. So we want to thank everybody out there that's sending us these emails and thanking us for trying to do our part. And this is a battle. This is a war that we're engaged in right now, and we're doing everything in our power to try to save this alternative media. So thank you to everybody out there.
Thank you very much.
Now, what we're going to do today is cover, first of all, the facts of the Christopher Bolin dismissal from the American Free Press. We're going to go through that, then we're going to bring in some other material that doesn't directly relate to the American Free Press firing him, but is of interest to everybody because it all relates back to this issue. So, the facts are, on the evening of October 8th, the Sunday night, Christopher Petrick, who is the managing editor of the American Free Press, sent an email to Christopher Bolin informing him that effective immediately, he would no longer be employed by the American Free Press, and he gave two reasons. He cited two reasons as to why they came to this decision. One was that Bolin was submitting false stories, and second was his disloyalty to his employer, i.e. betraying the American Free Press. And as you'll see during the course of this show, both of these reasons cited by the American Free Press are very valid.
Well, when we think of a false story, our initial thought is the Sam Danner story, which has been proven to be a false story. Sam Danner himself came on our show and admitted he lied about seeing a global hawk at the Pentagon, the story that Bolin and Huffschmidt peddled to the public and to Mike Piper, Bolin's colleague at the American Free Press. Sam Danner came on our show, admitted he lied, admitted that he had been coached by some people who wanted him to see a global hawk. And he named one of those people, and he named Eric Huffschmidt, Christopher Bolin's good friend.
Right. Now, in fact, Sam Danner admitted in four different places, at four different times, that he had lied about this story. One was during the Wing TV interview. The second was on Dylan Avery's Loose Change Forum. The third was in an email to his son, Matthew. The fourth was in a phone message to his son, Matthew.
Right. And it should be noted that, considering his flip-flopping and his recantings and his retractions of his recantings, Sam Danner is not a credible source of information in any capacity whatsoever.
On top of that, when Christopher Bolin first broke this story, and he was the one who broke it, him along with Eric Huffschmidt, both of them were practically were contacted practically from day one by Russell Pickering, who is one of the highest authorities, if not the authority, on the Pentagon.
Well, he's a 9/11 researcher who focuses almost exclusively on Pentagon.
Right. He provided Bolin and Hufschmidt with a plethora of evidence debunking the Sam Danner hoax.
Well, why? It didn't smell right from the very start. It was full of inconsistencies. And Russell pointed that out to Bolin and Hufschmidt because he didn't want them to be discredited for putting out bad information. And what were their reactions? They chose to ignore Russell Pickering's warnings and concerns, and they peddled the story anyway.
Right. After hearing these interviews that Sam Danner did with Hufschmidt and Bolin, Pickering went through line by line, chapter and verse, and pointed out all of the inconsistencies, the lies, the things that didn't add up. He made all of this evidence available to Bolin, but instead of
looking into it,
right, what he did was for week after week after week, he continued to perpetuate and to push forward this disinformation.
He even pushed it on his colleague, Michael Collins Piper's show.
On numerous occasions.
And I think this was in an attempt to, knowing that it was going to be refuted and discredited and disproven and shown to be the hoax story that it is, knowing that would make Piper look bad too, for he sort of snared Piper to help peddle this story too. And Piper didn't even know, you know, what was going on.
Yeah. Another example of Bolin pushing bad information was when he was going to do an interview where he was going to have Sam Danner on. He said that Sam Danner told him that he had been run off the road by government officials, and that's why he couldn't make it to the interview. Well, Sam Danner yet again admitted later on that this was a tall tale, that this was a lie, as well as his Pentagon hoax. Yet Bolin refused to issue a retraction or an apology of any sort, even though his and Eric Hufschmidt's fingerprints were all over.
Yeah.
Both of these stories.
Well, he admitted in 2004, October 2004, on our show, that this global hawk theory was his theory. Now, it wasn't his theory because people had previously talked and discussed and researched the small plane hypothesis 2 years prior. But since Bolin said in 2004 that was his theory, connect the dots there, because 2 years later, in 2006, Hufschmidt and Bolin are peddling this global hawk story and Sam Danner right along with it.
So you see, Bolin had a vested interest in pushing forward this global hawk hoax because it reinforced an earlier theory that he had. Mm-hmm. Now, before we went out to dinner last night, Lisa was saying that there have been many other newspapers in history that have fired writers for far less damning information than what Christopher Bolin
That's
was
right.
peddling.
Newspapers and even mainstream media news networks commonly, frequently have to issue retractions for information they give out that's incorrect or not precise. And this is not a big deal. The public is used to seeing retractions in the newspapers. Generally, they're printed in very tiny texts and shoved, you know, somewhere buried in the paper. But it's not uncommon to issue a retraction, and
there
it saves your credibility when you do so.
There were many people urging Bolin to print a retraction.
Including
he refused
us, right.
to. So the American Free Press was well within their rights to dismiss Bolin because they have a good name and they want to keep from having someone destroy this good name, especially someone who has very rapidly lost their credibility by releasing these bogus stories.
To overlook the failure to issue a retraction on a bad story by Bolin, it sets a very bad precedent for any newspaper or media venue. It shows the other people that work there, there's no incentive to even focus on being accurate or truthful.
Right.
If there's no consequence for when someone isn't.
And how many times on Wing TV have we said that everybody in the alternative media has to raise the bar higher? We need higher standards.
And boy, have we gotten resistance to that idea.
Yeah. And see, if Christopher Bolin is allowed to peddle bad information like so many others in this media, what incentive does anybody else at the American Free Press have? If they see Bolin getting away with peddling junk, what prevents them from doing the same thing? American Free Press had to do was draw a line in the sand and say, we cannot tolerate disinformation and bogus hoax stories.
It goes back to the journalistic code of ethics. You know, you're supposed to abide by that. You're supposed to have an honor system, which is your personal ethical system, your personal honor system, character, integrity.
And it says something about Boleyn. If he's not willing to print a retraction, then that's a reflection of his character for not doing so.
And I'll tell you what, his overreaction and his bizarre response to being questioned about the Sam Danner story and his subsequent arrest story leads me to wonder if no one has publicly questioned Boleyn before, ever, because he's just acting completely irrational about being questioned about inconsistencies in his own story.
And anybody that writes a story should expect to be questioned on it. It's our responsibility in the media and everybody else out there. It's their responsibility to question things that don't add up.
And rather respond to direct, valid questioning of inconsistencies, discrepancies, and anomalies in his stories. What does he do? He engages in ad hominem attacks, bizarre, preposterous ad hominem attacks, and let's not forget to mention vicious.
Like he did not only to Russell Pickering,
right,
but to Wing TV and Lisa Giuliani.
And my family.
Right. So that's right there, the first reflection that something didn't add up. Now, the second reason that Boleyn cites that he was released, and we haven't seen the original American Free Press email to Boleyn.
And the reason why is because when they contacted him to terminate their association with him, they did that privately.
Right. So we weren't privy to this, but we're going by what Boleyn said. The second reason cited for his dismissal was that he was disloyal to his employer. And this can be proven very, very easily. The first example occurred during a debate between myself and Christopher Boleyn on August.
Oh.
On Michael Collins Piper's radio show. Now, what I'm going to do here is read a transcript from this, I believe it was October 24th, when this debate was. And
October?
Or August 24th, I believe is when it was. And what I did was I began by asking Christopher Boleyn very directly, did he think, like Eric Hufschmidt, that the American Free Press was infiltrated and run by Zionists? Okay, that's the first time I asked it. Well, what he did, Boleyn, was he began going off on a tangent, okay? So to try to bring things back, well, at that point then, I say that Michael Collins Piper has even said that he feels Hufschmidt and Daryl Bradford Smith are parasites. And Piper jumps in and says, yes, I do denounce Eric Hufschmidt, and I do denounce Daryl Bradford Smith. That's right from the moderator. So, attempt number two to ask Boleyn if he thinks the American Free Press is infiltrated. And I ask, do you think they're infiltrated by Zionists like Eric Hufschmidt says they are? I mean, I would like an answer to that. That's exactly what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Boleyn says, if you have an issue with Eric Hufschmidt, take it up with Eric Hufschmidt.
So he didn't answer the question.
Yeah, so instead of just answering directly, yes or no, he says, well, take it up with Hufschmidt.
And what he does is he doesn't refute what Hufschmidt says. He doesn't say, well, I don't agree with Eric Hufschmidt's claims. He doesn't say anything like that.
Yeah, so I ask him now the third time. I want to know, Christopher, if you agree with what Hufschmidt says. Boleyn says, I just got done saying, I think Eric Hufschmidt is a very good researcher. He's got the best book on 9/11, Painful Questions, the best book on the subject, and that's
so
it.
So he's got nothing to say about Hufschmidt's claims against the American Free Press. He just starts promoting Eric Hufschmidt and plugging his book.
So immediately after, I ask him the fourth time, do you think the American Free Press is infiltrated by Zionists, in your opinion? Boleyn says, I didn't say anything like that. I follow up by saying, is it your opinion that they are or they aren't? This is the fifth opportunity now. Boleyn has an extended pause, and then he replies, I don't have an opinion on that.
He doesn't have an opinion on whether or not his own newspaper is infiltrated.
Finally,
and the claims of Eric Hufschmidt.
Right. So I gave him five chances there. I follow up by saying, I think that's very, very telling right there.
Yeah, he disconnected himself altogether.
Now, on two or three other occasions during the course of that interview, I also gave Boleyn a chance to answer this question. Not one time did he support his employer.
No.
Not once.
And not one time did he actually answer the questions that were posed to him. Instead, what he did was engage in ad hominem attacks to avoid answering, and he accused Victor of being an Israeli.
Yeah, and all kinds of other very immature sidebars that he got into. Now, here's another example. After this debate was over, shortly thereafter, Lisa and myself attended the American Free Press Barnes Review conference in Washington, D.C. At one point, this was a late Saturday afternoon, Michael Collins Piper was out in a hallway where he was talking to me and a couple other people, and he mentioned something that I was, at that point, unaware of. He said that after the debate, he received an email from Christopher Bolin, and Bolin accused Michael Collins Piper of arranging this debate on RBN with not only myself, but the Department of Homeland Security.
How irrational is that?
No.
But I mean, if you listen to that audio of that broadcast, you can clearly see Piper, who was a colleague of Bolin's, was supportive of Bolin and had been, you know, after the arrest, and he helped him broadcast the Sam Danner story unwittingly, not knowing that it was a hoax. So for Bolin to even make the insinuation or the claim that this was some sort of conspiracy between Piper and Victor is absurd. Victor actually got ganged up on that program.
Yeah, on quite a few different occasions. So not only is this preposterous on so many different levels, but this is a bold-faced lie that is going to forever be an embarrassment to Christopher Bolin.
Right.
And his credibility is already so far in the gutter.
And he knows it.
Yeah, and he knows it. So this is something that's going to forever follow him around, and he won't be able to shake it, because to accuse Michael Collins Piper of somehow being involved in a conspiracy with myself and Homeland Security to screw him during this debate on RBN is so over the top,
you know,
that it shows the paranoia going through this man.
Makes me think that Bolin was kind of put in place to take Piper down, to discredit him, to make him look bad, to embarrass him publicly. Why? Why would he want to do that? Because all that Piper's ever been was his friend and his colleague. Piper respected and admired him.
Same with the American Free Press, who's done nothing but promote, put him out in the forefront, Christopher Bolin.
Not only that, they have roundly and publicly supported him after his arrest incident, even though he instigated that whole thing himself.
They paid his expenses and on and on and on. For him to slap the American Free Press and Piper in the face like that is inexcusable.
And let's not forget that they continued to publicly support him after he publicly stabbed them in the back.
Right, but that's not the only time that he's betrayed the American Free Press. Phil Jahan.
Yeah.
Everybody knows him. He's nicknamed Commander Pod. Well, on his Let's Roll 9/11 forum on August 27th of this year, that's only a month and a half ago, this is an exact verbatim quote from Phil Jahan. He says, "Chris Bolin has said often to me that many CIA spooks infiltrated and try to subvert the AFP." So that he can't just blame this now that it's all Eric Huffschmidt saying it or all Daryl Bradford Smith, because he said, or Phil Jahan said, that Bolin told him that CIA spooks infiltrate and try to subvert the CIA, or the AFP.
Now, Jahan's not a vault of truth, but if what he's saying is true here, on his own public forum, then that means that Bolin was talking trash about the American Free Press behind their back to other people. How many other people did he make comments like this to? And why would he say such a thing?
Exactly. Now, if anybody wants more information about how this entire story unfolded, please go to the Wing TV homepage. You'll see the article, "American Free Press Fires Christopher Bolin." Not only do we cite these examples, but at the end of the article then, there are 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, almost 10 different links to articles written by ourselves, plus other people, other outside sources.
Plus the link to the extensive SOT thread, Signs of the Times Forum thread, which you can see the whole scenario from when, you know, we first started looking at Christopher Bolin's stories. From Sam Danner onward, how this transpired. And you can see for yourself, no one's been engaging in a character assassination of Christopher Bolin. We simply questioned the inconsistencies in his stories, and it was he who is engaged in an ongoing concerted character assassination campaign against me, Victor, and both of our families.
Right. And this thread now is over 40 pages long, has nearly 20,000 views, and it shows an entirely different side of Christopher Boleyn that nobody else or anybody has rarely seen.
I guess, but Christopher has never been publicly questioned or challenged on his information before.
Right. Now, we're not the only people that are questioning Christopher Boleyn that are starting to open their eyes up. I got an email this morning from a very well-known researcher, someone who exposes the Zionists and the Israeli agenda. I'm not going to mention this individual's name, but he says, what's the story on Boleyn? From what little I've read about him, I had some questions about him, i.e. his work on a kibbutz and his understanding of Hebrew, which I thought a little peculiar for a fellow goy.
Right, we examined this on the Signs of the Times thread forum. Christopher Boleyn has lived in the past in an Israeli community called a kibbutz. He was married. His first wife was a Jewish lady, as far as we know.
And he speaks
Hebrew. So you figure that one out.
Yeah, and this is also something that Christopher Boleyn obviously doesn't want anyone to become aware of.
But that's in his bio.
Right.
That's in his bio information. He included that in there about living in an Israeli community. So.
Yeah. Now, there's also another note that we have to bring up, that when Christopher Boleyn released his statement on Rumor Mill News yesterday, he said that Michael Collins Piper, prior to the American Free Press conference in D.C., laid down an ultimatum. Now, we've never heard this from Piper or anyone else, but according to Boleyn, he said Piper laid down an ultimatum where he said that if Boleyn shows up at the conference, he's not going to.
Well, this is not what we were told when we were there. We were told that Christopher Boleyn was asked to reconsider his decision to not attend the conference or participate, and Christopher Boleyn refused. He wasn't the only one that had initially decided to back out of that conference. We also did, because we didn't want to be a disruption or a distraction, since we had been publicly challenging his story.
Right. There were over 40 speakers at this event.
Right.
350 people, standing room only. We didn't want to go there and be a disruption.
Well, what happened was Willis Cardo called us and asked us to please reconsider. And I heard that other people were also called and asked to reconsider. Boleyn's the only one who refused to attend.
Exactly. So, it goes further, though. There was also another individual who was going to pull out, who had said that he wasn't going to attend this conference, and that was Mr. William Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very well known as the last man out of the World Trade Center.
Very well known as a 9/11 hero.
Right. He was the 9/11 hero. And when we were at this conference, Rodriguez did reconsider. We appeared on the 9/11 panel with him. And late in the afternoon on Saturday, William Rodriguez, we talked to him a few other times, but he said, Victor, I want to talk with you somewhere privately and let you know what's going on with Christopher Boleyn. I said, well, of course I'd like to. So we went in this little bar/diner area, just myself and Rodriguez, and he started telling me about how he was on a speaking tour, a foreign speaking tour, with Jimmy Walters and Christopher Boleyn. They had traveled to Venezuela, and they were meeting with some very high officials in Hugo Chavez's administration. Now, when Rodriguez was giving a presentation to these individuals, Boleyn kept jumping in and hitting him very forcefully with the Israeli side, the Israeli input. Now, naturally, since we wrote the book 9/11 Evil, we are well aware that Israel played a very central role in 9/11 attacks.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a time and a place for everything.
Right. And aren't people always warned not to vomit information all over people who aren't aware of all this stuff? You're supposed to not just spew it all out on their lap all at once, because people can't handle it. They get overwhelmed, and it freaks them out.
Right. Well, William Rodriguez kept telling Boleyn, let me handle this. These people know me. They look up to me and respect me.
Right.
He says, they're Hispanic, I'm Hispanic, I know how to talk to them, I know their language. We'll bring this information up later, but we can't hit them on the head with it right now.
You've got to give people a chance to digest and absorb what you're already feeding them before you just pile the whole heap right on top of their heads, because they shut down. they go into cognitive dissonance then if you load too much onto their brains.
Well, Christopher Bolin took offense to being told not to hammer these officials with this information at that time.
So what does he do?
So what does he do is what he's doing. It was what he did to Michael Piper, Russell Pickering,
AFP,
Mark Bilk, and so many others.
And me.
He went on the attack.
Yeah.
And what he did was he said, now remember, William Rodriguez, a 9/11 hero.
Yeah, respected by everybody.
Yeah. Bolin speculated that William Rodriguez was given promises of financial stability and a possible political office if he kept his mouth shut about certain aspects of 9/11.
Talk about utter gall.
Yeah.
First of all, where's his qualifiers? Where's his proof of that to make those claims? Those are, I would say, I put a lot of money on that those are lies right there.
And on top of that, then, he accused William Rodriguez of being tied to the Clinton family and that the Clinton family was going to put him into office or help his political aspirations.
Again, where's his qualifiers? Where's his proof?
If he kept his mouth shut.
Right. Who are the sources on that?
Yeah.
Bolin doesn't say.
Now, luckily, William Rodriguez attended that seminar, gave a sterling presentation, but he told me he wants absolutely nothing ever again to do with Christopher Bolin.
Christopher Bolin burns his own bridges with people.
Exactly. Now, there's still other information. A couple months ago, Christopher Bolin wrote an article that was published by the American Free Press where he attacked Loose Change and Dylan Avery.
Right.
Now, let us preface this by saying we have some problems with Loose Change because of their refusal to point the finger of blame at Israel for 9/11.
We have some problems with some of the information they put out on their DVD, too. We don't believe that it's factual or correct. But aside from that, go ahead.
Right. What this article was very unsubstantiated.
Uh-huh.
And the information came from Eric Hufschmidt, because a month or two prior to this article, Eric Hufschmidt did an interview with the three creators of Loose Change, mm-hmm. including Dylan Avery, where he was giving all kind of, or he made all kind of accusations and on and on and on and on about that. The big question is, oh, and then Eric Hufschmidt wrote a series of articles blaming or accusing the American Free Press of censoring Christopher Bolin's articles.
Right, but Michael Collins Piper disproved that absolutely by citing the dates and page numbers where these articles, Hufschmidt claims, were censored.
Actually weren't censored.
They weren't censored. They were published, and Hufschmidt blew him away. He crushed him on that with the truth, and so therefore, Eric lied again.
Yeah.
He lied again. He lies all the time.
This was all debunked by Piper, and the even bigger question is, how does Eric Hufschmidt even know
about the inner workings of the American Free Press? Who's feeding Eric Hufschmidt information? Looks like it's his friend Christopher Bolin.
Right. So what happened was the American Free Press, and they even published letters from their readers that were highly critical of them for running this article about Loose Change when it was unsubstantiated, and it was their typical modus operandi, publishing stuff without
mm-hmm.
anything to
right.
back it up. Now, Lisa,
yeah.
let's talk about something else here. After Christopher Bolin was arrested
mm-hmm.
by the Hoffman Estates Police Department, he appeared a couple nights later on Hesham Talawi's show,
right.
where he compared himself to a Palestinian. Tell this story.
He was relating his arrest incident story to Hesham Talawi's audience, and he compared the broken elbow, the alleged broken elbow, we don't know if it's broken or not, that he sustained to the treatment Palestinians get by Israelis, which is completely preposterous. And I believe Hesham thought so also, since his response was, well, you should count your blessings because you got off lucky and you got off pretty light, because Palestinians don't get that kind of treatment. They get killed. Palestinians
yeah.
get slaughtered.
Now, just think of this. Christopher Bolin incited this confrontation
yeah,
with the police department.
Absolutely.
He got what's called an occult fracture, which means it can't be seen. Nobody knows for certain.
It's a suspected fracture. It's not even proven that he has a fracture.
So he likens himself to the Palestinians who are getting, who are innocent citizens, who are getting brutally murdered via a concerted genocide against their people. He's trying to play up to the host, Hesham Talawi,
who is a Palestinian.
A Palestinian,
right.
And luckily...
And he's trying to generate more sympathy for himself.
To his credit, Hesham Talawi smacked down Bolin on that one and says, consider yourself lucky because this is nothing compared to what the Palestinian people
did. Can you imagine how ridiculous that comment by Bolin sounded to Hesham?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
and he did the same thing later on in his arrest, the latest article where he talks about being terminated by the American Free Press, where he compares himself to Professor Stephen Jones from Brigham Young University, saying they've both been maligned for their 9/11 research and removed from their positions. So he's linking himself up to somebody who has good credibility because his credibility is crap now. Well, let me tell you, there's a world of difference. He's got no basis to compare himself to Steve Jones. Stephen Jones has not publicly embarrassed, insulted, or lied about his employer or colleagues. He hasn't publicly betrayed and stabbed his employer or colleagues and friends in the back either, Bolin has.
And he hasn't put out knowingly bogus stories,
right.
Because Bolin knew from practically day one that this Sam Danner information was false, it was a hoax,
right.
And he continued to perpetuate it for week after week after week in a variety of different sources and on a variety of different venues, including John Stadtmiller's show and on and on. So there's no... likeness whatsoever between Professor Stephen Jones and Christopher Bolin. The only reason he likened himself to him was to generate sympathy from the public.
And to bolster his sagging credibility.
Right. But do you know what this is called? Propaganda.
Right.
He propagandized every person that read that article by showing a picture, the visual.
Yeah.
But, you know, people, aren't you...
He's being forced to now confront a consequence for his actions. And it's a wonder that the American Free Press has tolerated his betrayal, his public betrayal, for so long. They've roundly supported him even after he stabbed them in the back, even after he failed to denounce two proven liars, Eric Hufschmidt and Daryl Bradford Smith.
Aren't you sick and tired of being...
You know what he is? He's a Judas goat.
Yeah. Aren't you sick and tired of being propagandized by the government, by organized religion, by the mainstream media? Now you have somebody in your own midst, Christopher Bolin, who's laying propaganda on you, who's trying to generate sympathy by putting a picture of himself with Stephen Jones, and there's no likeness whatsoever.
None of this probably would have come to pass if he would have simply issued a retraction for the Sam Danner story. But instead of responding directly and appropriately to valid questions about his Sam Danner story and the concerns issued to him by Russell Pickering, what did he do? He started slamming people who were questioning him, and he continues to slam people who are questioning him about inconsistencies in his story. He himself is engaging in what he accuses others of doing, which is typical of a psychopath. He has engaged in a concerted attack against me, my family, Victor, his family, the American Free Press, his friends at the American Free Press, his former friends anyway. And it's curious that he couldn't just simply issue the retraction on his hoax story and be done with it.
Yeah. There's one last thing now that shows the difference between the American Free Press and Bolin. The American Free Press could have very publicly humiliated Bolin when they sent his dismissal letter. But what they did instead was they used class. They sent it to him privately.
They respected him.
Right. What Bolin does then is the next day he goes on Rumor Mill News, prints all of this information, lies about quite a bit of the details.
Yeah.
And it shows, yet again, the difference between these two.
No,
American Free Press...
He just responded to their private communication with him with a public pot shot at them to try to make them look bad, to embarrass them further. He is the one engaging in the character assassinations. They had every right to terminate their association with him.
Absolutely. And anybody that has any business sense whatsoever, anybody that exists in the real world knows that if somebody becomes a liability,
a public embarrassment.
Right. As Christopher Bolin became, then if they want to salvage what they have, whether it's a company that makes tires or a company that pumps gasoline or anything like that. They get rid of the cancer.
You can better understand and put this in context for yourself. It's called empathy. Put yourself in the same position. Would you be allowed to continue working for a company that you work for if you did the things Christopher Bolin did? How fast do you think it would take them to get rid of you?
Yeah. Go into your place of employment today and start spreading rumors about them. And when questioned about it, stand by the attacks and the lies and the innuendo and yellow journalism and see how long your boss is going to keep you around.
Say you work at a store and you start yelling and insulting your employer in front of your fellow staffers and customers. See how long it's going to take before they fire your butt. Yeah.
I think the American Free Press acted honorably. They acted in good taste, and they did ultimately the right thing. They cut their ties to Christopher Bolin, who's been discredited thoroughly throughout this moment. And all we have to say is, Lisa brought up the word a little bit earlier, Christopher Bolin is a Judas goat.
Yeah.
He wore a mask for many, many years, and starting with, at least as far as we know, this whole Sam Danner hoax, the mask was removed, and what we saw behind that was a very vicious person that lied, that used tactics that are exactly the same as the ADL and the mainstream media and the government use.
We'd like to say something else, too. He's been characterized in the past as the shining star reporter of the American Free Press. We say all of the reporters at the American Free Press are shining stars. Jim Tucker and Michael Collins Piper are exemplary reporters. All of their reporters have been shining stars for all of us. They've been inspirations of truth, beacons of truth. And to just classify Christopher Bolin as their shining star is erroneous.
Right.
It's bogus.
They also have John Tiffany, Mike Blair, Vince Ryan in the past, and so many others.
He climbed to fame on the back of Michael Collins Piper. And let's not ever forget that.
Right. So to everybody out there, as we close this show today, we urge you, support the American Free Press. This wasn't an easy decision for them.
No.
They didn't take it lightly, and it was very courageous of them to do this, because I know they didn't want to, but they saw what a detriment, what a liability he had become. The American Free Press is America's best newspaper, and if they wanted to remain that, they can't be dragged down by somebody that didn't have their best interests in mind and whose allegiance wasn't to Piper or Petherick, or Tucker, or the American Free Press.
Or to truth.
His allegiance was to two toxic individuals named Eric Hufschmidt and Daryl Bradford Smith, who have become also so discredited in this movement that right now they're three toxic stooges that, in my opinion, let them all go together. Let them be the three stooges. But we urge you, support the American Free Press, because they did the right thing, and they're the ones who are seeking the truth.
It's time that we stop issuing support for shills and liars and psychopaths and Judas goats. It's time that we support truth tellers. And believe me, we've said it a zillion times. The circle of truth tellers is very small. It narrows day by day. Support the people who tell the truth. Don't support the Judas goats. Christopher Bolin is a Judas goat.
We have to raise the bar higher. And Christopher Bolin, obviously,
and that's very sad.
Right. He wasn't willing to do that. We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.